Everybody, welcome to Perspectives of Change. Let me start as usual by introducing Perspectives of Change show. Sometimes we as change agents forget that our perspective is just one of the many perspectives out there. And the Perspectives of Change show is dedicated to exploring how to nudge change forward by understanding and valuing multiple perspectives. I'm Sarika Karbanda, the host of the show. And I'd like to give a very quick introduction about myself. I'm a change hacker and a business agility coach by profession. And I love to understand multiple perspectives and see what we can bring in terms of value from multiple topics and special guests in our show so that you can benefit from it. So with that very short introduction, maybe I should add an apology to it because I'm coming back after 2 months and bringing you a podcast. So a very short apology. Well, life happens. I have no excuses to make. Life happens. And we just have to let it happen. And I've been keeping a sore throat for almost a month, trying to talk as less as I can. But I thought it would be great to now bring you this amazing topic. We'll dive into what that is with some really special guests. So here we are. And now hopefully I can keep a frequency of at least one good, amazing topic in 2 weeks. So let's begin with that and dive right in. So what do we have for today? We have an amazing topic and, I want to pull up and read out something directly from the extract of our topic. And we are calling our topic for today, Unlocking Your Potential, Harnessing the Power of Your Personal User Manual. So today what we are going to be doing is a short roundtable conversation where our special guests, and these are global practitioners who've been using the personal user manual for many, many years, or perhaps have just created it. We'll find out and we'll see how they have been using it and how the manual has been benefiting them. And can you, as individuals and teams, really tap into your own personal user manual and see how you can harness your own potential? So that's a short introduction about our topic. With that, we are going to get into the introduction of our guests. And I am disrupting the introduction a little bit. So what do? We all have personal user manuals. So let's start by introducing ourselves from maybe within or without our personal user manuals. I don't know what's in everybody's personal user manuals, but let's start with a very basic something that mostly everybody would have in their personal user manuals. So we'll start with what's your name, where are you dialing in from, and what's your superpower? And with that question, let's start with Andrea.
Hi. So my name is Andrea, and my nickname is Dea. And then that was, sorry about my voice today, but that was one of the things that I really loved about creating my first personal user manual, was to actually let everyone know that I do have a nickname that I use and that sometimes prefer, which is Dea. And it was quite of a difficult approach for me to introduce that, because Dea is spelled DEA. And in US, right, it's kind of like a completely different meaning than a cute nickname. but that was it. I am original from Brazil, and then I live in Orlando, Florida for the past 12 years. I have both Brazilian and American citizenship. And what else? My superpower, I think that curiosity is probably my superpower. I'm curious about everything. And then that opens up so many opportunities for me, like really to learn, to engage, to connect. And yeah, I think curiosity.
Beautiful.
I will pass that to Lisette.
All right. So I'm Lisette. I'm calling in from the Netherlands today. And let's see, in my personal user manual, what I use it for is mostly just to explain some of my quirks, because I get a lot of emails, I'll say, for example. I get a lot of emails from people asking, like, I'd love to just have a meeting with you to catch up, or I want to talk to you about something. And my personal user manual, I always direct them to that because in it, it says, I don't have meetings without knowing what the purpose is, or if there's no agenda, I'll just turn it down. And so that's one way that I can nicely explain myself without just saying no. So I guide people to my personal user manual. And my superpower is enthusiasm. I've always been naturally enthusiastic. And then I grew up in the US. And so I think the American culture on top of my natural enthusiasm rubbed off. And so I'm like extra enthusiastic somehow. It's just part of, how the whole package was created. So that's a, but I'll take it. It's my superpower. And I'll pass it to Sei-Chin.
All right.
I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Well, I'm going to be pronouncing my name really shortly. All right, thanks. Thanks, Lisette. So I'm Zichen, or just call me Z. I actually got the name Z from my American friend because he had trouble pronouncing my name. He said, I'm just going to call you Z, and that stuck, right? So it's been 25 years now. So I'm calling from dark and warm Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, right? It's currently 8:40 p.m. thereabouts. I would say my superpower, I've struggled with this question, and I think you asked me again, I might change my answer, but right now, I really love mashing ideas together and see what happens and creating new ideas from it, right? It's something that I've been doing, consistently over, my professional career, so I'll call that my superpower of the moment. Also something I have to do today for work, right? I think my personal user manual, I primarily use this in my coaching practice. Right. And very specifically, because when I'm coaching, it really helps to contract with somebody. You know, this is how you work with me. This is how I prefer to work with somebody. And I also use that as an example for someone to express what their needs and wants are with me. Right. So being the first person to show my manual actually encourages someone else to express themselves the same way.
Awesome.
All right. I'm going to pass it over to Yuju.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Z. So I'm dialing in from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. And I also thought about what my superpower is. And first I thought about curiosity, but I think one of the big things that I don't know how to describe it in one word is that I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. So like I like to learn a whole lot of different things and see what are the patterns and interesting things that I can try and put them together. So that kind of, I will leave it at that as my superpower. Yeah. And it's my first time doing personal user manual, so I haven't really applied it as much as others have, I think, on this call.
Beautiful. Thank you, everybody. This is really good stuff, right? In fact, I learned more things about everybody, even if I know you all individually. So it's really cool. Okay. But I will give a very short description about my own self. So I'm Sarika. I'm dialing in from Pune. It is really hot here, plus 38, and it keeps going to plus 40, which is really not nice. Getting into the evening now, so around 6:15 p.m. or so, which is nice. So, but my evening just starts off, so work starts now. That's another story. And my superpower is, and since I just created this question, I really thought about it as you all were talking, and I'm like, maybe my superpower is actually just co-creation. I think I love to co-create and I enjoy that, but that comes with a bit of disruption. Because you can't just directly get in and say, hey, let's co-create. Nobody's going to be ready for that, right? So, of course, going through the piece of disruption, unleashing individual potentials, and then getting everybody to co-create something new with me, what makes sense, that I would say is my superpower. I'll also add something similar to what Z says. You know, you have a superpower at a certain point in time. So, for now, this is my superpower. Tomorrow, who knows? Yeah, we might just change our responses. With that, let's move on to the next amazing question, which I have actually picked up from the newly created user manual from Yuju. And that is, what energizes you and what depletes your energy? These are two amazing questions. I love the questions. And I was like, we've just got to introspect and see. So Yuju, why don't we start with you as we give everybody else a little time to think?
Yeah, sure. I actually got the question from doing a retrospective with a team. And I thought that was a good one for me while I was thinking about what do I put in the user manual. So that's kind of the background. So I'm really energized. I love kind of doing workshop because it kind of changes meeting dynamics. It makes it a lot more inclusive. People are a lot more energized, and that energizes me. So like I feed off of other people's energy when it goes really well, when there's like engagement. And another piece is like when I really see meaningful change that happens and that I was part of that process of influencing that change. And also, like I said, as part of my superpower, I really just love learning something new. I enjoy the journey of learning much more than reaching the destination. So those would be my three energizers. Yeah. And should I go to the deplete one or do we go?
Yeah, I think go for it. Go for it.
Okay. Yeah. The play one was interesting when I thought about it. I realized that I really don't like stagnation. And I think my tolerance for stagnation is very short. It might not be, I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, because sometimes we just need to persevere through stagnation. And that's also, and the secondary one was like, I feel like I'm not learning something or not trying something new, that also depletes my energy. So coming back to that, yeah.
Awesome. And you can pass it on to somebody.
Oh, sure. I'll pass it to Z.
Okay. What energizes me? I think two things. I think one is just exploring. My personal hobby is I just exploring, you know, new cafes, new parts of the town, new cities, new ways of doing things. Looking for things which are just novel like that. And then that bleeds into my professional life, you know, just learning and trying stuff and experimenting. The other thing, I hope this doesn't sound silly, is holding a marker in front of a whiteboard. It can be teaching, it can be brainstorming, it can be collaborating. I don't know why, but when I hold a marker on a whiteboard, I'm all pumped up.
Nice.
Yes. And what depletes me, very similar to you, Drew, monotony. That really, yes. Okay. I'm going to pass it to, who wants the ball? Virtual ball, anyone? Okay, Lisette, here you go.
I'll take it. Right. I love the virtual ball. That's great. Start with the depletion first. So what depletes me is lots of noise and lots of crowds. So for instance, traveling, getting from place, I love to travel, but I hate getting there. Getting from place to place, the planes, the lines, the noise, it makes me, I am so tired after that. And when there's too many things happening at once, I'm somebody that gets overwhelmed easily. So I really need to have like slow, methodical ways of doing things. So I get overwhelmed quickly. The things that energize me are one, remote interactions. So I love learning from new people and being on things like this and being able to talk. I mean, I'll come out of this call and just feel totally high, you know, like, yeah, that was great. I love that. And the other thing that really gives me energy is music, like certain bands, certain like listening to music. It'll really like, that's what I'll do to get myself going. I put on some Depeche Mode or some Erasure and then I just, you know, I just start dancing and I can't stop. So that's the other thing that gives me energy. All right, Dea, over to you.
Love it. You know, I just realized that we are somehow very similar in this group here. I do feel that what gives me energy is people, like really conversations, interaction with people, whether virtual or live, it doesn't matter to me. I'm very comfortable and connect with people visually as well. And I get out of a meeting like that, like incredible high, like it's like it really brings me a lot of happiness. And one thing that I really don't like that takes my energy away is waiting. Like if you schedule something with me and then you let me wait, oh, that like it destroys me. Like it's like in a way that I can describe, like it, especially that like coming from like a Brazilian culture. Brazilian people or mostly Latin people, like they do not know what scheduled meetings are. So that is always a lot of waiting and waiting and waiting. And like, I don't belong to that culture. So that definitely takes my energy away. And I need to remind everyone that I may have been born in Brazil, but that trace, it's not me. And I am always on time. And actually, I'm like, earlier than on time, most of the time. So that's it from me.
Awesome. Which I think is a great segue for me to say something, because I'm just going to pick on that last point that you said, Dia, for whatever reasons, what depletes my energy is two things. One, of course, is status quo. I need to see things change. If it just gets stagnant, and I agree with you, we're all pretty much alike in many ways. So status quo definitely depletes my energy. And the second thing is non-punctuality. I can't see people not respecting my time when I'm respecting theirs. I'm like, I've been waiting here. It's been an hour. Come on. Okay. But yes, that definitely depletes my energy. But what energizes me, I think, is maybe threefold. I wanted to say two things. And the recent most thing, I'm just going to let somebody into the room. The most recent thing, I think, for me is yoga. And that has brought in brilliant energy in me. But as most of you know me from before, I'm generally a very high energetic person anyway. I love talking to people. I love interactions. So for me, I think people and interactions is what drives my energy. And the third piece, I think, is constant change. I know, Z, you and I have had many talks on this. For me, life from, I think, my childhood has been all about change, and that has always kept me energized. I see that same thing in almost all of you, because we are all from different countries, lived in different places, and it's a bit natural for all of us, but that really energizes me. Which now brings me to another question for all of us. You know, if all these things are so awesome to know about ourselves, we all know ourselves and our personal user manuals, why doesn't everybody in the world already have a personal user manual out there showcased, you know, on their websites? Or I don't know. What's your perspective on that? Anybody, just raise your hand.
Well, you immediately made me think, like, in a way we already do, like that with our social medias and our Facebook and our LinkedIn, like those are in a sense personal user manuals that we put out there into the public. I think what we're talking about here, like having our own personal user manuals, are a little bit different in that they're for use in a professional context. They're a way to make visible what we had when we were in person, but now that we've gone remote or hybrid, what might be a little bit more missing, right? When we show up in person, that is kind of our personal user manual in the flesh in some ways, right? We just have to learn about people. But when we're remote, there's a lot less of that. So I think that's sort of one angle of that.
True.
You know, I keep thinking about that and go back to a little bit like how I started creating the personal user manual. And it was because I wanted to honor my own wishes. And that was something that I didn't have the opportunity in my professional career to that point. Because I was always like fitting in the company, fit in the boss, you know, like fit in that team. And I was never really like, wait, but how about me? Like how I'm going to be able to show up as the professional that I am and honor my qualities, my personality and my everything. Because then again, if collaboration to really happen, if it has to be a win-win, I was always losing, right? Because I was never like coming up as myself. So I think it's like in the whole culture of professionals, it's kind of difficult for us to show up as ourselves, you know, like we do not have much space. So at least I never felt that I had much space to show up as myself. And even to bring the idea of a personal user manual was awkward, like, because my boss previously, my managers previously, they never really come to me with that open space to say like, who you really are. I don't care. Do this job. Right. So if I didn't have that opportunity, then, you know, but then I decided to take the step and use the personal user manual once as a self-awareness tool. So that was very important for me. And two, to honor myself as a professional, because, you know, who I am and what I need, it's important. And then again, to get to know other people and then to really be able to collaborate, it has to be a win-win situation. So that's kind of what I feel. But I feel that, again, it's a change process, like to open the space for us to be who we are.
I think for me, I feel like I had two barriers before even starting the user manual. One was even thinking about it. So in some way, it was good that I had, like, you guys were sort of my accountability buddy through LinkedIn. And I'm like, all right, well, let me just like set a deadline and I have it done. Because I didn't really know what might be the benefit of it to do it. So I never really put it on my priority list to even think about it. But I definitely heard about it from Sarika. So that was one barrier too. So I finally got it done. And then my second barrier was, where do I publish this? Or do I even publish it? So that was so I never published my user manual at the end. I actually just DM Sarika and say, I don't know. For some reason, I don't feel safe about sharing this to the world. So those were my two barriers. And I wonder, that might be the reason why, like, some of the people don't have one as well. So that would be my take from my personal experience.
Awesome.
I'm going to build on what the three of you said and just kind of contextualize it for myself, right? I definitely resonate with what you just said. You know, it is awkward, right? It's not something we normally do, and to say, hey, here's who I am, right? I mean, it's awkward, number one. Number two, it does take a certain amount of confidence to put it out there, right? And for me, it's almost like, am I sure this is who I am and this is what I want? Right. And I remember like right now, you know, been in the workplace for over 20 years, so you can date me that way. When I was younger, I didn't actually know what my preferences were. Right. And I think kind of one thing you said that really resonated with me, right, is how often in the workplace, especially when we're starting out, do we actually ask for things? And do we uphold our boundaries? Right. Especially coming from an Asian culture where, you know, if the boss wants something, even though I don't want to do it, well, guess what? To fit in, perform, right? I got to do it, even though I don't want to, right? And then that just kind of carries over year after year after year. And I think this is how kind of these practices permeate, right? And I do think, like, it does take that amount of confidence and self-awareness to say, this is who I am, this is what I want, and I have the courage and confidence to tell you this is what I want. Right, with openness and care, right? Because we do have people who go around saying, this is what I want, and then they're completely offensive, right? But to do it with openness and care. And I think just kind of landing on what Lisette said, right? I see you as the person who, yeah, this I'm very confident in who I am, and I'm able to express it healthily. And I think that's kind of where if we're able to show that, not just through a document, but how we express ourselves, how we carry ourselves, it kind of takes away that awkwardness from people when you meet somebody and, you know, you feel, oh my God, I know you. I know how to interact with you. That's no awkwardness. It's because we're able to express that openly, you know? And I can remember when I was younger, I would be very awkward because, you know, people don't know how to interact with me. I don't even know how to interact with myself sometimes, right? When I was younger, but that's, you know, that goes, you know, I've been going through a process of just self-awareness, self-learning, and, you know, just checking myself and self-reflecting. And I think the one thing I'm just going to add on here is for me, my path of learning who I am and understanding what the items on my user manuals are is the thing about all the times I get triggered and upset and ask myself, why did I get so upset? Because sometimes you don't know what our preferences are until someone doesn't abide by it, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that I've noticed about mine is that it is constantly evolving. It does not remain static. I think I make edits weekly. As like, because sometimes in the beginning, I was scared. Like I put something out about like, oh, I really love US politics. Not that I love what's going on. That's another topic, but like, I really love following the whole thing. And I had this whole explanation. And then I got really nervous. Like, oh, what if a client see this? And then that really turns them off to this. Okay. So I watered it down a bit. And then, you know, I was constantly editing until, and then sometimes things change. Like I had, oh, what does my ideal day look like? And then 2 months later, my ideal day changed. And then I'm constantly updating. So I think one of the things to know is that it's not a static thing, that we evolve and our manual should evolve with us.
Absolutely. Yeah. I even have like a top information saying that, note, this is a living document. Like it's like I'm constantly changing. I'm constantly updating and learning about myself as I go. And it's important for us. Like that's why I think that like the personal user manual for me is a great tool for self-awareness. Like for myself, really, and the more I read all the personal user manuals, the more I interact with people and work with different teams and different people. Like I learn more about myself, and therefore I'm always like updating and then getting inspired and learning. So it's very interesting. And I was thinking about what we all share a little bit, our insecurities and to share, you know, to open up about our desires. That's why I've been kind of like advocating a lot, like how will be so incredible if we could use personal user manuals like for interview process, to get to know a candidate, like even before joining the team, right? And or even as activity for onboarding them in a new team, like how different will it be for us to like, you know, like get involved in the team working together, you know, like in the first thing that you do, it's like read everyone's personal user manuals, you know, your boss, your team members and stuff like that. Like how different would that be? And I in the beginning, I was very scared about publishing mine, and mine, it's open to everyone. I publish on Notion, and it's interesting because I put like a little, plugging that I check, like people from all over the world that visit my page, and it's interesting because I get a lot of messages on LinkedIn with people that read my personal user manual and then come to chat with me right away with like a connection that they found, you know, after reading my profile. And then once I saw that this was happening, it completely changed my idea of publishing or not publishing this, you know, because like suddenly people were like, oh my gosh, we love the same thing, or we've been through the same thing, or I really connected to this. And then someone sent me like even private message about happy birthday, you know, it's like, I saw that it was your birthday, I took a note. And then it completely changed the way that we network, right? And then we really connect with people. And that has been really special for me. Like even if like people from completely strangers and we don't work together necessarily, but we are able to network differently and connect differently. And that has been really special for me.
Super awesome. I love the way this conversation's evolving. So maybe in the interest of time, I'm going to put this question, because I think we spoke about the whole journey of a user manual. You know, if you're starting it, how safe does it feel? What challenges and barriers do people or might be facing? The ones that you faced, what does that feel like or look like? So I think there's probably a question that our audience, I would think, might be interested in is, well, given the context, given that we are all going to work hybrid, remote, some kind of a context that we are in today, what could be maybe top one or two pieces of advice or action that they could try out from your experience to start putting their user manual out there, or even start creating their user manual. Maybe creating is a better one. So re-summarizing that question, what's one or two actions or pieces of advice that you could give for people to just start creating their user manual if they haven't yet done that already?
I think I can start. I'm thinking, since I kind of went through this process really, really briefly, I think start simple, because I was like looking, I look at Diaz, I look at Lizette's, I try to find Sarika's on LinkedIn, and then I kind of try to find this, and there's like different things you can put in to the user manual. It could get really overwhelming. So I think just start simple and build from that. And maybe if it helps you, if you're like a, you need a deadline and keep yourself accountable, if you have an accountability buddy, find a partner who will do it with you, and maybe you'll find out something new about that person. So that would be my advice. And I'm kind of inspired by what Dia kind of mentioned about like how she made connections. So I think what I'll do, since I started in a new company, I think I might just actually post my very small user manual to my team and see what happens there.
I think we can be, so most people are kind and most people want to help. And so there is a fear that people will misuse the information and that is possible. So that fear is not unfounded. So it's really good to just put that out there. There are a lot of internet trolls out there. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't happened to me yet, knock on wood. I don't know anybody that it's happened to, but we do hear lots of stories of that. So that's something to be prepared for. But I would say by and large, most people are kind. And my tip for user manuals would be true to yourself. Like really create something that's from you. I've seen lots of different kinds, everything from drawings to sticky note diagrams to like mine's more like a Word document on a web page. You know, there's Notion, but really like what is your, what, where do you come from, and be true to that. So maybe yours is a painting or so, yeah, I don't know, you know, think big, or a collage. Maybe that's another way to do it. So I would say really be true to that. And what I always say to people is think about what others need to know about working with you. How do you like to communicate? What's your feedback style? What are your communication preferences? Start with that and then go from there. And you don't have to show it to anybody. So just start it out as something just for you. You don't have to show it to anybody in the end. Maybe it's something that remains just for you so that you're more clear on who you are and what you need. Perfectly fine. And then if you're still nervous and you want to share it with a close friend. Start there. Like, keep it kind, but also just know that most people are kind.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think for me, what really helped was, like Lizette said, like, find something that really would represent myself, because at the end, I think that, you know, the beauty of the personal user manual is a self-expression tool, right? It is a self-awareness first, right? For me to get to know myself. And then, like, I use that as a way for me to practice that. Also how I organize, how I like to, you know, make cute here and there, and then just play around. At first I didn't share with anyone as well. I was just trying to see like how, you know, it will take a shape of thoughts and ideas that I was getting like about myself over there. But I noticed that even though I didn't publish in the beginning, it was way easier for me to communicate with people verbally and even in writing about those needs. So even if you don't publish, I mean, don't worry about it. But you're going to see that is a great clarification tool, right? Like it will help you to get to the point that you're going to be able to speak more about those wishes and needs, and then how you can communicate better with other people. But I absolutely love the idea of having the accountable group of people to work with together. And I think we should totally get that going. That's my goal, actually, to create a group that we gonna like work together on our personal user manuals. Because I think it helps a lot. And then that kind of conversation that we can have a little bit as well, it clarifies things, right? Like if we share a little bit here and then get an idea from someone, it's like, oh, well, actually, I really think that this is important for me. And then you go ahead and then you put that in writing. Have that kind of open conversation where everyone is going through the same process. It really helps. So I think that that's another tip.
I'm a pretty private person, so I don't share my user manual except for when I'm coaching. So either I could be coaching an individual or coaching a team. So typically what I do is I build a personal user manual for them when we start coaching. And typically I'll ask the question around, you know, so what is it like working with you? Right? What are your preferences when you're working with somebody, right? And usually when I'm asking them and they're expressing, I'm just taking note. And because I've asked them, typically they'll ask me or I'll offer, would you like to know how it's like to work with me? And I've never had anyone say no, right? So typically that's kind of how I come into a conversation with someone new or a new team. But it does take pre-work in building my own preferences and knowing my own preferences are, so that when I do share it, it is clear, right? When I first started my coaching, because my preferences weren't clear, then the client was also a little bit confused, right? So I had to be clear. And like what Lisa said, it's a living document. I think I just had a thought, which is slipping. Yeah, and I think one of the things that's important with the user manual is going deeper in the working relationship with it, right? Because sometimes you'll find a lot of things that are missing in the user manual, right? Because there might be a work conflict or there might be a little friction there. And we go, okay, hang on, can we pause here? I'm noticing a little bit of friction. What's going on? What is it that you need right now from me so that we can make this a healthy collaborative working environment, right? And I find that it is in those moments that we basically take a step back and reflect on the relationship of working with each other. We learn something about each other. Frequently, I learn something about myself. And then that really deepens the work relationship. And then, you know, that goes on to my little list of self-reflections. And hopefully my client also knows a little bit more about themselves.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, this is just so overwhelmingly wonderful. There's so many action items. Maybe I can just sum it up from everybody and just say, anybody who's listening to us or watching us on our podcast, you just need to start. I think that's the general sense of what everybody's saying. Don't stop yourself. Just start where you are. And you don't need to tell everything about yourself. Feel safe to tell just enough about yourself. You might be a personal person, a private person, or an open person. But just start and say what you want to tell others about yourself. And just be authentic, be a little vulnerable, self-reflect, and put it out there and just begin. And remember, it's a living document. You need to continuously update it because you update your own, what do we call it? Personal operating system. Don't we all have our own operating systems, right? Just like our mobile phones and laptops. So since that keeps getting upgraded each time with each hour, each day, your personal manual also deserves that upgradation. So it's not going to stay in its status quo. So just go ahead and update it. So with that, I'm going to wrap this up and thank you all for that. But I see that we have somebody who joined us and I don't want to miss asking. Karthik, welcome. Would you have a question for all of us?
Hi, this is Karthik here, joining from Singapore. Hi, everyone.
Welcome.
Yeah, hi. Maybe I don't have a question. Maybe I can add a couple of thoughts. I can drop my two cents on this, right? As an agile coach, my role is an agile coach, basically. So I kind of work with clients and with across different organizations to kind of help them move into new ways of working. So my perspective towards change, and if you ask about the user manual, which I pretty much reflect on what you said, Sarika, was basically on, you know, having an open mind, first of all, as agile coaches, we would have to actually have an open mind because we expect others to kind of accept change, and we walk into different walks of life. Like we don't have a kind of a one client whom we can work with throughout our life, right? It's going to be changing, and each experience that we step in, I think it's going to give us a lot of learnings and experiences, right? So as we move into this journey, what I feel is, I think when we step into and meet any new client, we need to have an open mind in the first place, because it's more about a leadership starts with self, right? So we need to kind of, you know, understand ourselves, applying this emotional intelligence. That's very important, is what I felt, because I work across different cultures, and especially in Singapore, I mean, it's very obvious. So I think that is more important, where we understand ourselves better. Self-aware, you know, socially aware, and you know, have that empathy and move forward. I think that's more important, and it's need of the hour, is what I think.
Awesome. So I'm going to add that to our list. Have an open mind. Be self-aware. Of course, we've talked a lot about self-awareness, but having that open mind is very key, so that you can share more about yourself and with empathy understand more about others too. And that allows us in lots of ways to navigate change in the context that we are in. So thank you so much for sharing that, Karthik. And once again, thank you everybody for joining us today for this roundtable tweaked format for Perspectives of Change. We've never done a roundtable, so I guess we are pioneers in a way for this amazing roundtable, and we can evolve it further. Any last parting words before we close this session from all of you?
Take lots of breaks in between online meetings. Those will be my last parting words. Is that? So once we've done like a round table like this, get up and do some jumping jacks in the garden.
For me, it's like lead by example, really. Like just do you and start over.
I think this was a great conversation. This event actually held me accountable to make my personal user manual.
Last verse is just try it out. What do you have to lose? Right. Mm-hmm. And thank you all for the conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. So with that, I will thank everybody, all our listeners, all our viewers. Like I promised, I am hoping to keep coming up with more and more amazing conversations, amazing guests and topics. So listen in, watch out for the next one, and I'll see you again. So thank you. Have a pleasant day. Have great energy ahead. Bye-bye.